Blog Talk Radio.
I was just checking something out. Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. And I do apologize for the volume on the intro. That was one of the original ones that I opened with, and I hadn't played in a while. And I'm thinking it was a little low, which in fact I know it was. And so I stepped away from the board. And when I came back, I was like, oh, my goodness, it's low, it's low, it's low. The volume's too low. And so that's actually programmed into the studio to play, but I didn't upgrade the volume on it, so I do apologize. But, hey, the show must go on. And, again, welcome to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show here on the Michael Gay Network. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is the 23rd of 2022, and this month is almost out of here. Yep. The dog days of summer are among us. And, hey, you guys, you got us here every Saturday. And today is no different. Well, I won't say no different. When it comes to great conversation and fantastic guests, it's no different than any other Saturday. But this is a special Saturday because we have another special guest that's going to join us. In the first hour, what we're going to do, we're going to discuss, of course, the latest hot topics and have some conversations about some things that are going on within the last week or so since we last talked to you. And then in the second hour, we have a special guest, recording artist Ishmael Sings will be joining us. And, you know, I was introduced to this gentleman by a, well, you know what? I had no idea this person was listening to the show as much as they have been listening. They've been tuned in and checking this show out for some time. And I was like, what? Really? You've been listening that long? Okay. Appreciate the support. And that would be Miss Mashauna Walker. So Mashauna introduced me to this individual and what played their music for me. And I was like, interesting. But, you know, we're always about supporting, you know, black businesses, black authors, black entrepreneurs, and, of course, black entertainers. So today, at the top of the hour, 7 p.m., our special musical guest will be Mr. Ishmael Sings. And towards the end, right into the almost third hour, we're going to we're going to do a little tribute, you know, to an iconic singer, musician, writer who recently passed. And it blew me away when I heard that this gentleman had passed away. It truly blew me away because just before COVID, and I think even after COVID, but just beforehand, this brother was performing everywhere. I would see, you know, advertisements and being at various locations throughout the Southeast, out West, just everywhere. And I grew up listening to his music, really appreciated his style. And you know, we're going to get into that later, you know, but the people that he's recorded with. And to me, he is one of the most unsung artists of all time. And when we get into that segment, I want you guys to really hang on and listen to all this great music that this gentleman brought us, and that is none other than the awesome Mr. Michael Henderson, who left us earlier this week. So we're going to pay tribute to him going into the third hour. All right, so without further ado, I'm sitting here and looking to see where my co-hosts are. I think they should be popping up on the board shortly and waving their hands. So hopefully they'll be joining us soon. What gets me and the whole thing is that I want to start off with the whole thing about racism. Okay, we're going to start this conversation off because there was a video that went viral just recently. And you hear folks saying, you know, well, I'll say a few years back, racism's not as bad. And then people said, oh, the racial tension now is so hot. Well, yeah. Some folks said, well, Barack Obama's the one who started the racial tension. You know what I think? No, don't blame Barack Obama. Because we saw where these certain groups started growing in masses when he won the presidency. Well, that's going to start some racial tension, wouldn't it? I mean, when you start seeing groups like Proud Boys and all these militias start forming when you get your first black president, that's automatic racial tension, I would think. But they want to say it's Barack Obama's fault. What, because he became the president? It's his fault. And we have to remember, if every black person in America voted for him and no white people voted for him, he would not have been the president. So what gives? So Barack Obama was blamed for the racial tension in the beginning. But now we see it's getting to the point of where you can't even take your children to an amusement park and there's some kind of racial situation. And the reason why I bring this up, I want you guys to, before we get into the conversation, if you haven't seen the video yet, I want you to look now on your phones or whatever. It's everywhere, of an incident that happened at a Sesame Street place, or what's called the Sesame Street Place Park. It's an amusement park, and I want you to take a look at it, all right, if you can, while you're still on the line. Take a look at it. By the way, I'm sorry, I had to open up the chat room. Last week, we had an issue with the chat room, so I want to see if it's available. I'm sorry, the week before. So in the meantime, while you look that up, here's a co-host here, the lady of the house. She's here, and we're going to open up her mic and say hello to the one, the only, Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hi, Janet.
Good afternoon. How's everybody? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. You know,
I'm tired.
I know you are. You were telling me you had a long day with the grand and everything. So, yeah, I can understand that, you know. But, hey, especially as hot as it is out there, you can't be running behind them, right?
But they were running in the house.
Right. But this thing with the issue at the Sesame Street amusement park or the parade or whatever at Sesame Street Place, this has become very viral. A lot of folks have spoke on it, not just the family, but some entertainers have spoke out on it that were very upset about it. And the people who run the park made a statement, but you've seen the video. What did you think about it?
Well, it was obvious, but other videos have came up besides that one that people have sent in, you know, so I think they need to terminate that person because, you know, if she can shake everybody's hand, miss those two little girls, and then go and shake the next person's hand. And there was little kids in the line, too, but she managed to get them. They're trying to say her vision was off. She can't see anybody low. No, that's not true. That's not true. They would not make a Sesame character or some other a costume character that they can't see the children. That's the purpose of having the characters. It's for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's probably going to be in a class action suit against Sesame Place. I think that's what it's called.
Sesame
yeah.
Place, yeah. I mean,
yeah, they need to get one of the girls, the person.
Who did that? When I saw the video, yeah, it kind of stunned me. And then when I read what the people who run the location, they made that excuse, right, that based on the costume and everything. But you got to not only be able to see, but you can still hear. Because according to the story, is that there was allegedly a woman who wanted their child to be held by one of the characters. A woman kept insisting that she hold her baby so she could take a picture. And the individual who's in the costume was telling them no. Now, if you watch the video, allegedly this occurred a little bit further up the route, not far, but just a few feet up before these two little girls were yelling the character's name, which, in fact, I want to pull that up so we get the full gist of the story, because this isn't good. This really isn't good. I mean, Sesame Street accused of racism.
Mm.
Which is one of the first shows ever.
It's not Sesame Street itself.
The character, the person, I'm sorry, the person who was there being the character, but the thing is, just for the fact that they are, that individual is part of that organization, it doesn't look good for Sesame Street, right? So what I'm saying is that we're allegedly, and I'm trying to pull this up. I don't know why this is not coming up, but I'm trying to pull it up. But that's what was supposed to have occurred, is that where another woman wanted their child to be held by the character to take a picture. But if you watch the video, let me finish this part. But if you watch the video, I'm saying to the listeners, if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at the fact that these two little girls are not little babies. They're at about, you know, a little bit above this character's waist height. And also, they are yelling the character's name as the character is walking towards them, right? So she has to hear these voices, even at the excuse of where they couldn't see them. But they can hear these two little girls yelling the character's name. Now, follow me here. You know the distance of a voice, right? You know if it's somebody standing on the sidewalk of the cold route or somebody right in front of you. These two little girls are right in front of this character. And it's clear in the video that it looks as though this character actually looked down at them and waved them off, like, no, no, and walked away. So I'm trying to understand Sesame Street's story about, oh, well, they couldn't see them. I don't buy it either, Janet, what you said. I don't buy that, you know, that they couldn't see them nor hear those little girls. And when you look at the video, look at the expression on both of the girls' faces. The taller girl, she has a look of disgust. It's like, what the hell is going on? What did we do? Well, the other little girl, she turns and looks at her sister like, can you believe this shit? Watch it.
It was a daughter and a cousin. Yeah. And Sesame Street said they got a license to be able to use the characters, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the actual Sesame Street.
Okay. Okay.
The parts.
Well, let me open up a mic here because we have the law here in the house, and I'm pretty sure that he has something to say about this. Please welcome to the show. Always, always love you in the house. Welcome, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw.
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey, Janet. I apologize for being late. I was taking a shit because that's bullshit. That's to be thing is bullshit.
Okay.
You can see,
you
can see the character, and the character is Consuela. I think it's what they call it. Wave the little girls off. But right before she waved the little girls off, she waved somebody else off that was on the right side of the lady that she gave a high five to.
Okay.
So she gave a high five to a lady, and then somebody came up on the right side of that lady. She waved them off, looked at the two little girls, and then waved them off.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to be a Hispanic character. So, but was it a Hispanic person in the costume?
No, the thing is that where that character was is the first bilingual character on Sesame or in the Sesame Street group. And quickly, I want to say, I just want to say this quickly. Bring It Boy says, "Good day, Mr. MJ." Hello, Bring It Boy. Please send my good wishes to the female guest host. Oh, and if he is in the broadcast, to Officer Crenshaw. Yes, they're both here. But the person in the suit may have a court order not to touch children because they may be a pedophile. Okay, but Bring It Boy, if they were a pedophile, they sure as hell wouldn't get that damn job, all right? First of all. But the thing is that if you can high-five, they could have high-fived these kids. But go ahead, Crenshaw.
I love Bring It Boy. I love it. That was a good one. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Bilingual, Spanish and English. Supposed to be a Spanish character. So it's not making any sense. Why they did what they did. But supposedly character did it to a bunch of other kids as well. I don't know. I haven't seen the videos. I mean, I'd be upset if Elmo did that shit to me because I love Elmo.
Okay. Well, excuse me. This is a big deal with the family, of course, and I'm hopefully something will come out of it. But it is a shame that where kids have to be exposed to something like this, and it's sad that of course a company is going to try to protect its brand, right? Their trademark. They don't want to see like. And it's not, as Janet just said, it's not Sesame Street itself in the wrong. It's whoever the contracting company, whatever the case may be, as far as their hiring practices or their training of their staff. And that's where something went wrong, and it was caught on video. It was caught on video, and it's looked as a racist move or a racist gesture, I guess. You could say where they wave these kids off. They're there for the kids. We have to remember that. I saw a video where this little girl chased Minnie Mouse, and Minnie Mouse ran away just recently. You know, the girl was chasing to give Minnie a hug.
I don't care what your beliefs are. I don't really care how you was raised, what was instilled in you, whether it was hatred. You know, a child is innocent. And just like that video that went viral years ago with the two little kids didn't running up to each other and hugging each other on the sidewalk. Kids are innocent. They don't deserve it. They're talking about pulling stuff out of the schools and this and that. Well, how are they going to learn to be able to differentiate?
I agree with you. But I'm going to tell you something real quick. You're very right. You're 1,000% right. Children are innocent until adults poison their minds. And Janet, I think you remember I told you a while back when I first came into Georgia. Remember when my dad and family owned a house up on Robin Court, right, up in Woodstock. And I had a relative that there, and my dad asked me to go up there to check on the house. And I went up there, and it's on a cul-de-sac, and I turned around and was driving out, and I heard voices going, nigger, 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 nigger. I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? But what startled me, it wasn't nigger, nigger, nigger. It was nigger, 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 little kids. And I'm looking around out the windows. I don't see anybody. And I look in my rearview mirror, and here's these little kids following behind the truck calling me a nigger. Now, think about that. It's taught. You are right, Officer Crenshaw. Kids are innocent until they are poisoned by the adults of racism and hatred. I'll never forget that. And this was back in the 1980s. This, in fact, I can tell you, was exactly 1982 when I first came here and hated Georgia. And in 6 months, I took my ass back to California. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, maybe I didn't really give myself a chance to really understand it and learn more. And later on, back in, like, 89, I came back here, or 88. But that's what I'm saying. That we're, it's just sad that we're
all the joy.
Go ahead.
All the joy is gone out of our livelihood. You know, I could tell you guys that I just found out I got 2 weeks to live. And now we'll be all find that out. Well, shit, I just got 2 weeks vacation. That's how the rich people, you know, they get 2 weeks vacation, they live it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? But it just all depends on the way you're working. I used to drive down the street, you know, and they would yell, F the police, F the police. I just stopped the patrol car, get on the hood, hold my legs up and say, okay, which one are you want to do me first? And then get back in the car and drive on.
Oh, man, you crazy. So you just go ahead and go along with it. Play the role. Who's first?
I mean, because it throws them off from the anger and the hatred.
Right.
And then they think about it later on and they laugh about it. I used to do some shit to make people laugh. I did all type of stuff.
To throw them off. Yeah. Which probably, and you know what? In a sense, you a lot of stuff that you did de-escalated certain situations, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And that's the whole thing, is to de-escalate on both sides. Don't make the person that, you know, as an officer, and don't make the officer upset. But you both have to look at it that way. Now, if it's a criminal, it's a criminal. And we can understand it. And Bring It Boy, okay, I'm looking at your post. I can't read all of yours back to back to back, but I'm going to say this here. You say, if racism is an issue, why isn't Al Sharpton, Whoopi, or BLM involved? Well, you know what? We've gone past Al Sharpton. Whoopi has a TV show. Black Lives Matter has done what Black Lives Matter has done. What they have to do in the future, I don't know, because I don't really follow all three that you mentioned. Al Sharpton has been around during the racial period pretty much longer than you and I have, you know, and have experienced a lot. Whoopi has dealt with it in Hollywood in different ways. So, you know, I can't speak on their behalf, all right? So if you can come with more on that. But there are other individuals out there who are battling, emphatically trying to solve these racial issues, you know. So, you know, if you take a look at that. But Bring It Boy, you know, you normally will call in. You're more than welcome to call in to the show. You know, I'm always an open panel because I love to hear different points of view. I love to hear, you know, when you talk about, because see, the moment you mentioned Al Sharpton and Whoopi, and Black Lives Matter, but whenever you bring those on and everything, then we're talking about politics and we're talking about Republican and Democrat and this, that, and the other, which is cool. That's cool with me, but that's not part of the segment of the show yet. We're going to get into what happened earlier this week in just a moment. But there are other folks who fight for justice that are not just black. There are white people, there are Hispanic, there are black folks who, you know, fight for other than Al Sharpton and Whoopi Goldberg. Okay. Janet, I think you were trying to chime in.
No, just equal rights, equality. He's not just for racism, just making sure our rights are being protected.
Mm-hmm. So to finish off on the whole thing about the young girls at the park, because that's what we started the show with. So, Janet, you felt like, well, I think we can all agree, it's not Sesame Street's fault, but they can do better, correct? Officer Crenshaw, wouldn't you agree it's the individual?
Well,
I agree
it's the people who run in that park should do better, because they're the ones that got the license to be able to use those characters for that park. But that is not part of Sesame Street itself. Yesterday and today.
Right. So I wouldn't blame the park as a whole. I will call this, as they sometimes say, an isolated incident. It was that person playing that character, because none of the other ones did it, right?
Right.
None of the other ones shunned off black kids. So I would say that was an isolated incident. So that employee definitely should be terminated. And then, of course, the park, who doesn't own the rights, they have the license to do so, should definitely have a conversation with their employees. This will not be tolerated by anybody here. If you feel this way about folks of different ethnic groups, we suggest you hang up your costume and walk the hell out. You know, that's the best way to do it. All right.
Because if people boycott that area, they won't be getting hardly any customers. You know?
Well, and that's what
probably
normally
the majority
happens.
Of the people at that park might be just a mix of people, not just Caucasians.
Oh, of course. And see, and that's why I'm glad that you said what you said. Is that sometimes we want to blame the whole corporation, but to me, this was an isolated incident. It has not been proven to be a practice. Unless they can prove, if other folks came forward and had video and said, oh, this happened to me too and my child, you know, and then you could put together a practice of this company, right? Then you could put it all together and have a class action suit or whatever you want to call it. But I don't think that this was a practice of a particular organization who has the license to use that name. Would you agree or disagree, Oscar Crenshaw?
Well, they said that character has done it to other black children.
Yeah,
as well.
And they got videos showing.
Right, and they've came forward since then. The problem is it's that character, like you said. It's not Sesame Place, which is that brand.
It's the individual.
You know,
it's the individual who played that character.
Right, because, you know, what's the dude, trash can Oscar, whatever his name. He's not doing
Oscar
it,
the Grouch.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other characters aren't doing it. It was just that particular character. So to where we say, don't treat us all the same. Don't treat all police officers the same as the bad ones. Don't treat all black people the same as the bad ones, or all white people the same. You know, we got to look at it the same way. Find out who.
Now, you know, it's funny.
Find out who was in that suit and dig into their asshole and find out their history, their background, their beliefs, and deal.
Well, I mean, the thing is that that's exactly what I just said. It's the individual that was playing that character. I'm pretty sure since this incident, they found somebody else that's probably the hugging the hell out of kids now, okay? By now, they're trying to save face, right? They're trying to show that, hey, look, that's not everyone. And you know what, to be honest, if I was a kid and Oscar the Grouch did that, I would think he was being in character because he's a Grouch, right?
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
He's Oscar the Grouch, so I would expect him to be non-sociable because that's the type of person he plays as a character.
Right, but that, I mean, that's like Bert and Ernie not wanting to shake your hand. Come on.
Mm-hmm. True.
I know.
True, because they're the nice guys. I do too, but you follow
Big
my
Bird.
Point.
Look how tall Big Bird is. He shake hands.
I understand that, but mm-hmm. you do follow my point. My point is this. Well, it's not really a point, but I'm just saying that where this particular character, as I said, was allegedly the first character that was bilingual or of a Hispanic, okay? And unfortunately, whoever the person is who played that character really put a scar or a scar on this particular company for their actions. I believe that this is an isolated incident. I don't think this will be a major thing. I think it might be an out-of-court settlement maybe, and then they'll move on. But hopefully the company who had bought the rights to do this will definitely make sure that their staff and crew know that it will not be tolerated whatsoever. That's immediate termination. I mean, it's just like if you work at any place and you cuss out a customer or get into a confrontation with a customer and punch them in this and that, you will be terminated.
I agree with Bring It Boy. Bring It Boy. I agree with him that maybe, you know, it was a high-ranking Republican that likes little boys that didn't want nothing to do with girls.
Okay.
So he was just, wanted to be friends with the boys and not the girls because it was the airport bathroom.
Well, we'll see what the outcome is going to be on that, on this whole thing. But it's just kind of sad that you see this this type of behavior at an amusement park, a place that's supposed to be fun, just like, you know, Disney World or Disneyland. You hope these are supposed to be fun attractions, basically for kids, but adults love it just as much, if not more. Because I see videos of folks who are in their 40s and 50s, and they'll tell you stories about, oh, I've been coming to Disneyland and Disney World all my life. I come every year. And, you know, they love it more than kids. Most kids, a lot of kids, are scared to death at some amusement parks. If you really look at it, many of them are scared to death of some of the rides and the characters. I've seen little kids that be crying. They'll watch the cartoon, but they're like, no, I don't want to be up close to that. Mm-mm. Don't let them come and hug me. You know what I mean? So it's a crazy thing. Janet, let's go to the next topic here because the time is now 6:33. You know, when we get into these conversations, these topics go real fast. I'm trying to pull it up on my end. Let me see if you got on that. Well, let's go to the hearings for this week. This past Thursday night, this was what, the eighth conversation the eighth hearing? And supposedly this hearing was supposed to be of sharing with the public, because keep in mind that this is of what was happening on January the 6th or prior to it and afterwards. In this segment of this soap opera of politics, because that's really what it is to me. It's amazing. And when you look at the number of people based on parties that are watching, that are not watching, that are concerned or not, you know, timing is perfect for everything that's going on in America. But this time it was showing what the president or the former President Trump did and did not do. again, I'll say I find it amazing that there are individuals who are coming and speaking against the president, who served under his leadership. I don't know if you all watched it. I didn't see it live, but I did catch the highlights. Janet, I want you to go ahead and say first what your thoughts was about Thursday night's broadcast. I believe we're not going to see any more until September, from what I understand. And then Officer Crenshaw, if you've seen anything, can you chime in? But Janet, what did you think about what they shared?
I felt like that hearing was the icing on the cake, because they really summarized exactly what and showed what Trump was doing during the 186 minutes, you know. And so they purposely didn't tape anything. They had no, as far as videos, there was no calls, probably on a call that can be traced. Maybe he might have had a little, with some little phones you can get that you can throw away, you know. But, yeah, so I just feel like they proved their point, that he's guilty, just like Bannon. Bannon was proven guilty. He can get anywhere from 30 days to 2 years.
30 days?
Yeah, they said it could be
30 days.
30 days to 2 years, up to 2 years. I think they said 30 days to 2 years, something like that. Yeah.
Now let me ask you, what do you think he's going to spend those 30 days?
And what are they going to be 30 days? It's going to be 2 years.
No, I'm saying, but even two years. You know it ain't going to be like a regular prison, right?
I'm not looking for the 30-day thing. I'm looking for him to be in there as much as possible, because he was the one who refused to answer the subpoenas or testify. He thought it was a joke. But they also got tape showing that way before this election, he said what Trump was going to do, and Trump did the exact same thing.
Okay.
You know? So
it goes back to my question, and the thing is that we're – No, but it goes back to my question, because the whole thing, the reason why I bring up these things, because I'm hoping everybody's seen it or know a little bit about it. But what is 30 days to someone like a Bannon? And what do you think he's going to spend that time?
He'll get
it's
more
considered, than It's considered a badge of honor to some people. They look at going to jail as a badge of honor. And it is federal minimum security federal prison. Same one that Cohen, I think his name was, Trump's lawyer. Cohen, was it Cohen?
Yeah, Cohen didn't get in there until they he got out because of COVID, but he was in there, you know.
Right.
Bannon was making a joke out of it.
A minimum security federal prison. So it's like where they send police officers. They don't send them to, you know, the big prisons, because they know there's cops or different locations.
Exactly.
So
that was my question, and that was my point. They're not going to be sentenced, or I'm sorry, they're not going to be in the same jailhouses that some people think they will be in. I think I recall sharing with you guys before on a show about an individual who sold crack cocaine to the mayor of the city of Marietta and had no clue. That's who he was selling the crack cocaine to. The mayor drove through the crack cocaine area to buy a $20 rock, said that, hey, she didn't have any change, she'll be back. And this asshole, this dumbass, waited for her while she set his ass up and came back and they arrested him. You know how much time he got? The judge gave him a year for every dollar. For crack cocaine, $20. These individuals do some major federal crime and get 30 to 2 years, and this guy is sentenced to 20 years. See, that's what I don't understand about the judicial system to a certain extent. But you know, as Officer Crenshaw just said, he'll go to a federal prison. It's like a country club for these cats. I mean, yeah, they can't leave, but they can go outside.
Oh no,
they
get
like
visitation.
Kids.
They get visitation, and they get free time where they actually get to go. I think like every 6 months they go spend 24 hours with their family, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But see, like
see,
the,
that's
it's the
joke
way the law
I think that is put on.
The law is a risk, like for crack cocaine. Crack cocaine is a felony. For one hit of crack cocaine, it's a. But you got to have a shitload of marijuana to be considered a felony. You know, you got to have so many pills, date rape pills, or LSD to be considered a felony. Crack was taking over so rapidly that they made one hit, whether you're selling or possessing, a felony.
Okay, so according to Bring It Boy, said it's all hearsay. What are they all guilty of? Said Bannon wasn't charged with anything but not showing up to court via subpoena. There was no surprise there. When you don't show up, you go to jail. Okay, well, that's true. You know, because you were summoned to come to court.
He wasted everybody's time because the lawyer didn't even have, they didn't even have a defense. So what was the purpose of saying that you're not guilty when you can't even bring anything to show why you're not guilty? That's why the judge, I feel like he probably going to get the 2 years because the judge was kind of ticked off. You're playing.
That's kind of like in the same vein of contempt of court, because when you're ordered to come to court, you're expected to show up. And so that's contempt, I'm pretty sure. So that's the only thing they had on them, because they weren't able to question him and everything of what they wanted to question for. And so he's refusing to do so. His reasons are his own. Might be some guilty stuff there, you know, and maybe not. I don't know. But we won't know until he shows up. But in my opinion, he's got information he don't want to share. That's my opinion. Other folks have showed up. Other folks have testified. And back to the whole thing about this last Thursday's hearings, it's said that where this is all, in fact, Donald Trump said that this is all a show, this is all this and that and the other. But, you know, to me, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to take the fall for your crime. You follow me? I mean, I'm not. If you were the ringmaster and everything, you the one, you know, and I believe in you, I'm not going to fall and lose my family and lose my life based on a lie. And to me, I think these people who are coming forward are looking at where, you know what, I could be in contempt. I could be charged with a lot of things if they got evidence against me. And obviously they must have something. They must have something in order for these people to come forward. You can't lie to the federal court. And the thing is that where, you know, they can't charge Donald Trump. In fact, the Department of Justice will make that determination, correct? If they want to bring charges to the former president.
He's not a sitting president. If he was
I understand that. But the thing is, here's the argument. At the time of the alleged crime, he was still the sitting president. But the question for the Department of Justice, do we charge him? Do we take him to court? Okay? After all this is over with, which we're going to still deal with September, what's going to happen when they reconvene? What are they going to show and prove? Because, see, what they're trying to do is prove to the American public what had occurred. Is the American public interested? Well, hell, damn near all the Democrats are. Very few of the Republicans are. And then, let me finish, please. But a lot of people are now more concerned about gas prices and inflation and the cost of food and everything, and not, you know, really paying attention to this. But many people, according to a survey, do believe that there was wrongdoing on January 6th. On both sides, as Donald Trump will say, on both sides, many people believe that there was an insurrection. But many on the Republican side feel like we need to get past that. Don't forget what Mitch McConnell said afterwards about Donald Trump. He called it an insurrection. That's what he actually said. The video's there. So before we move on, because we have like 15 more minutes, but we still have more we could talk about this, but the thing is that we're, you know, I think I've asked this before, you know, where is this going to get us in the long run? Donald Trump has not announced running for president in 2024 yet. I read an article where a lot of Republicans were, you know, sending money to his, you know, his campaign or whatever and everything and waiting for him to say, yes, I'm going to run. But some are like, you know what, he ain't said nothing. I'm going to start sending my money to someone else. Okay. And you know who that someone else might be? Might be the governor of Florida. Right? He's pretty much the one that if anyone who would actually follow in Trump's footsteps, so to say, it would be him.
He's an asshole, just mad because he found out Annette Punicello is not young like she shows up on TV. She's actually our age. I think he's just mad because of that. Cause he looks angry. He just looked like he's got anger inside of him for some reason.
According to Bring It Boy, that's right, Bannon was afforded due process defense, could not defend. Okay. People who testified were people that talked about things they heard or someone told them. I'm sorry, that's not evidence. Not completely true, Bring It Boy. There were individuals. You're talking about the ones who were in front of the committee, but the tape recorded stuff is all you need to hear, right? So really, in a lot of cases that where the prosecution were asking the same or asking questions about the recordings or the hearsay stuff or the recordings that were actually proven that these were conversations that were going on and what was those individuals' knowledge of those conversations. So, you know, you have to filter through all that. There are recordings, and I'm sure you heard them. Also, you stated one woman testified she was told Trump was mad and tried to grab steering wheel of car. Secret Service said that was a lie. Committee wouldn't let them testify. But here's the thing, though, is that where, and Jan, I'm going to let you chime in, but here's the thing, though, Bring It Boy, if that was a lie, my question is this. Where was it? I was just reading it. Hold on a minute. One woman testified that the committee would not let it in. I can't find it, but go ahead, what you're about to say, Janet, and then I'll come back to it, what I was about to read, but go ahead.
No, the only thing I disagreed on was from the Secret Service, when they said he pulled the guy by the neck, the lawyer, what's the Cipriello or whatever his name is, he was the one, he didn't deny it, he didn't deny anything that the lady testified to that transpired, and the guy that had got choked was sitting in a chair acting like he was not responsive when all this was about. But that lawyer, the one who came in and testified after her, he didn't say any of that stuff was wrong. He agreed to all of it. He didn't deny any of the things that she had said that happened on the day of January 6th and before and after.
Also, hello, Dr. Smith. Dr. Cynthia Elise Smith just texted me, and she's listening in, and she says, hearsay is admissible for government hearings. They do not follow DOJ policies. The hearings are not court proceedings. Okay. And then another thing about that, I'm trying to find that one spot there, but thank you, Dr. Smith, for that input. But
she's right on that because Secret Service.
Oh, here's the thing I want. But I want to ask this though. What are your thoughts about the fact that text messages or whatever from January, I think they said the 4th up until the 6th, all of a sudden comes up missing? And the Secret Service have no clue what happened to them.
They also
said 25 of the Secret
Service people, 25, the ones that was protecting Trump, not Pence's,
mm-hmm.
the ones that was for detailing for Trump, those are the ones that the text messages disappeared. Just those.
Okay. But I just kind of wonder, but now the DOJ, I believe the Department of Justice said, stop the investigation on those missing text messages. Do you feel that there's a reason why? Well, there has to be a reason why. You think they figure, it has already been said that it might impede on another investigation, right? That's what I read.
Right.
They want to stop that investigation because it's going to impede on something more important, I guess, of an investigation that's going on.
That's the Department of Homeland Security looking at all of that, not DOJ. That's Department of Homeland
Security. I'm sorry.
To stop investigating internally and let them investigate and do what needs to be done. It doesn't mean that anything's going to be found out. The first thing they're going to look at is, when was the last purge of cell phones done, and why was this one done when it was done? If you haven't had a purge in 10 years, why all of a sudden now, after January 6th? But if you purge every year, if you purge every year around the same time frame, then okay. But protocol is to back up important information before purging. That's on everything. You back it up before you purge it.
So right, and the response. No, go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, supposedly they didn't back up everything prior to the purge. They just kicked open the purge.
Right, but they were told to save all text messages, everything. And they, than one time, they said on several occasions they reminded them not to get rid of anything. So why would you all of a sudden, just those days, nothing else is lost, just those days?
Well, here's the thing, right, within that time period, because any other time they can find everything, but in those particular days it's questionable. I believe it was the 4th through the 6th or the 7th. But according to, I just want to read some of the texts that I'm getting, you guys. Dr. Smith says, the DOJ is investigating now. Yes, they are. They are trying to determine anything criminal involved with the, quote, lost messages. And she says, yes. Well, Jenna is right. Bring It Boy comes back with this. And Bring It Boy, I had to laugh at this one, okay? Because you got to remember, the Beast is a big automobile. It's not your regular Cadillac or your regular SUV or anything like that. But Bring It Boy says, Trump's not a little guy, right? Former Secret Service agent says Trump is too big to have reached the steering wheel of his Beast, quote, Beast,
he
SUV.
He wasn't in the Beast.
But says,
Let me finish.
Can I finish? It says, to have reached the steering wheel of his Beast SUV, but says he doesn't mean to sound disparaging by talking about Donald's girth. It's regardless if you or anybody can reach forward in a car, I'm sorry, from the back seat. If you're not restrained, you can reach to the front. That's not impossible. I don't see that being impossible, regardless of the size of them. You mean to tell me that a person sitting in the back seat can't maneuver themselves to reach up between the two seats and grab a hold of the steering wheel? It never said that he grabbed it to where they swerved or almost wrecked. But just the attempt.
Mike,
your hand is reaching for the steering
wheel. You got to look at that as complete hearsay because she was repeating what someone else told her. So I don't I don't even look at that part of the story anymore. Simply
they
because
went in
the service agent that they can come in and justify, no, he didn't do that. We simply told her that because we like talking trash.
Well, the thing is that where I didn't say that he was, this is what Bring It Boy said, the Beast. That's what they said, the Beast, assuming he was in that vehicle. I know they're normally in SUVs. Really, he uses the Beast for when he's doing trips in other countries and stuff like that. Locally, they don't really use the Beast as much. I don't think so. I see there's a hand wave. It's a 215 number. And I do know who that is, so I'm going to open up their mic. Let me see here. And we're almost at the top of the hour, and our guest, I believe, is on the board. So in a moment, we're going to bring on our guest. And you guys remember, we can extend the show. So if you want to hang out after we have our conversation with our special guest, Shirley, we can revisit this conversation because I definitely like to have our guests and not make them wait. And have our conversation interview with them on time. So I'm trying to open up the mic to 215. And there we go. Welcome back, Dr. Cynthia Lee Smith, and happy Saturday.
I wanted to say hi to everybody. Janet, I love you.
I love you too.
Is that Officer Crenshaw? Is that Officer Crenshaw over there that
hey,
I hear? Yeah.
Hey,
Officer Crenshaw, how you doing? Of course, Michael, my buddy. I don't know who else is on, but hi, everybody. I'm gonna sign off, but you can take me off mic because I just basically want to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well,
yeah.
But did you have anything to say for a moment about what we just
just a little tiny bit. You know, I've heard,
sure.
I think it was Officer Crenshaw that said that he considers it hearsay. Because it's a hearing and not a court of law, I tend to go with that hearsay until proven otherwise, because everything else has pretty much been corroborated. And the only people who were saying nay now are the ones who were scared of Trump. But they won't, and, you know, they said they're anonymous. They won't even, it's not even... The ones who supposedly said it, is these are anonymous people who were saying that what she said wasn't true. And we already know that the head of the Secret Service is a Trumpite. So, you know, he's pulling his hair out now because of everything that's going on and doubling down and trying to make her look like she's, you know, an idiot or something. And, I mean, if he can throw spaghetti on the wall, he can certainly lunge at his Secret Service because he thinks he can do that. You know, he believes he can do everything that he did. You know, he was adamant, apparently, about going there like Napoleon up to the Capitol. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to go there because he was going to storm the Capitol with him. This is where he was. So when they told him, no, you can't, you don't tell him, no, you can't. He says, I'm the effing president. You don't tell me, no, you can't. So he's like, go for the guy's neck. It's like, who do you think you are? You know, because he thinks he can. He thinks he's just so entitled. And at this point, he just really thought, you know, he said, nobody, they're not there to hurt me. I want to go there and lead them in battle, is basically the way his head was.
I was shocked that they let him speak during that thing at the Ellipse because they had those AR-15s and other guns up in trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. I believe it. I believe that, man. I believe everything that people are saying. These aren't people who were, these are people who were acolytes. These are people who loved this man. And would, and had he not done this stuff, they would still be for him. And I would dare say some of them probably would still vote for him. You know, at the end of the day, if there was no one else. You know, if he
right.
if he said I'm
right.
running for president today, they'd all vote.
Amen.
Well, all right. Well, hey y'all, we're at the top of the hour, and mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed the first hour and the conversation. Please stand by because we do have our special guest. And you know what's so great is that we're thankfully I can extend the show if necessary. Yes, we are scheduled for 2 hours, but I can squeeze in another 30 minutes, another hour, another 50 minutes, whatever. Necessary, but as scheduled, we have a special guest that's going to be joining us, and his name is Ishmael Sings. And before I introduce Ishmael, and you're listening to the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, the Michael Gay Show, also the home of Let's Talk About It. We'll be right back. welcome back to the TMGS. That's our guest, Ishmael Singh, and I'm hoping he's going to pop up on the board momentarily. Ishmael, if you're on the board, call into the show. The number is, oh, by the way, for anyone who is listening to us on the Internet, the number to call in is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Press the number 1 in order for me to see that you're waving your hand, and then I can open up your mic. And so as we wait on our guest, I thought he was on the board here. But I'm getting text messages. He's trying to get connected with us, so you guys please be patient, and we'll see if we get him here momentarily. Let's see. I believe that's him on the board. Let's check it out. All right. Give me just a second, you guys. Janet, what did you think about that track, though, right there before we bring our guest on?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't on mute. I think the track was awesome. You know, I tried to look at some other songs, but I couldn't find too much out there. But what I did find was very, very good. He's got a beautiful voice, and I like the lyrics of the song.
Oh,
a lot of music.
Hello,
okay, you there? Okay, I'm sorry. So you thought the track was awesome, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay, okay. I hear some noise in the background. Hey, you guys, you know how we are. If you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute for the quality of the show. So please put yourself on mute if you're not speaking. I don't want to mute you. You know that.
I
like Network
it, too.
Fantastic. What about you, Officer Crenshaw?
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, I heard it. I've seen the video. I cried when I watched the video because he is, you know, I don't have a lot of people that I deal with. And it was a guy in my neighborhood that would cut grass for people. They are twins. I mean, they are absolutely twins. And he,
oh wow,
my friend Levi just passed away in April. And,
okay,
it tears in my eyes because Levi was from Selma, Alabama. But in the video, the way he was, that's the old school movement back in the neighborhood, you know, the way we grew up in the 80s, dancing, slow dancing, you know, it just, it filled my heart. It completely filled my heart.
Well, without further ado, let's welcome our guest to the show because he's been sitting back and listening to all the good things you guys have been saying about him. So I'm going to open up his mic. And you guys, please put your hands together for our guest today, Mr. Ishmael.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Thank you, studio.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Thank you, studio. Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Happy Saturday.
Thank you, people.
All right.
Happy Saturday. Thanks, guys. That feels good. You know, anytime a black man gets some applause, it feels good to the heart.
Amen.
Amen. Well,
wow.
as I shared with some of my co-hosts, is that, you know, you were brought to my attention by a young lady who I really appreciate, real sweet person, Miss Shona. And
yes,
she shared your music with me, and I was like, okay. And I gave an honest listen to it. And one thing I have to say, I love your voice. You have a very unique voice.
Thank you. Very smooth.
And so without further ado, I'd like for you to just give us a little background about Ishmael Singh, you know, where you from, and what got you into music, just a little bit about it before we get into real heavy stuff about the music.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the compliment on the voice because, you know, there's so many different types of voices. But I started, I don't remember not singing, so I would say I've sung all of my life. And but I didn't know that I was a singer. I used to sing with my mom said that she had a military boyfriend that used to sing real well. I think he was from New Jersey. But I'm from Louisiana, born in Louisiana. I live in Dallas. And growing up in Shreveport, military kid, my mom used to say that I would sit around and sing with her friends. You know, they were military dudes, so, you know, they probably were singing all the Soul Train stuff. You know, they were Vietnam cats. So, so I sung with them, and I guess I got the rhythm as I got a little older. Moving around as a military kid, I always would get into the school music classes, you know, kind of like a nerdy thing to do, but that's what I did. All the music classes. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't pay it no mind. It's just what I love to do. I was an athlete as well, but I love the music. So no matter what no one said, I love music. I felt real comfortable about it because, you know, being a musician, you know, you can get bullied being a musician too. You know, guys that sing, that's kind of like taboo. Although we do sing, birds sing. But in this world, you know, they try to act like a man can't play an instrument or do something beautiful. So, you know, I came up, sung in the school choir. I sung at the church choirs. I became a soloist. I'll make this short. Became a soloist because some of my friends and family members put me on the spot to sing a song at a church that I joined, a big church in Shreveport. So I sung Jesus Love solo, and that was it. And everybody was like, damn, you know, he can sing. So I came out of my shell, and there you go. And I continued to sing in the school choir. So I was at one of the biggest churches and at one of the biggest schools in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I excelled and became a soloist and got a scholarship for voice at both Southern University, Baton Rouge, the Southern University, and Louisiana Tech University in Ruston, Louisiana. So I did go to college off of it. I gave up my athletic career, football and track, and kind of like let that be a back burner to voice. I love music more. So
interesting.
And as I got older, I moved to Dallas when I left college, and you know, I had the different styles of voice, but you know, and I knew what the Marvin Gaye's and those guys would do, and I wanted to do that with voice. So I had to, you know, put it together, you know, to learn the cadence of, you know, the soul music, the soul singing, the R&B, and I started putting it together here in Dallas, and here we are.
Wow. Interesting. Now, so as you were saying that, when you went to school for music, right?
Yes. I went for music, voice scholarship.
Of course. And also you were an athlete in school. You mentioned Marvin Gaye, which obviously that was one of your inspirations. And I always ask, you know, our music guests, outside of Marvin Gaye, who else was your inspirations? And who do you listen to now, or who would we hear on your favorite playlist right now when you listen to music outside of your own creative sound?
Okay. Yeah, good question. There's so many to name. I always try to be ready for that question, and I still leave it open. But I would say Marvin Gaye because of the cadence and the energy, the way that he, you know, he would have his cadence, like an athlete, you know, trying to dunk like Jordan. You know, if you can fly and you got the height, you can dunk like Jordan, or you can try to dunk like Dr. J or something. It's a different way. But the Marvin Gaye thing is just the cadence to his voice and the way that I like to do it. The rhythm of it works better for me. Smooth, but yet with power. So it was just... It's a voice that I would work out to because I like his flow, you know, like a rapper would say, I just love the flow. So that's who I work out on, Marvin Gaye. That would be my number one inspiration because I can work out with him, you know. And other than that, all the Motown singers, you know, the OJs, I like the sisters, the Aretha Franklin, Sade, all of them, you know, because as a soul singer, you're going to pull inspiration from wherever you can. If it hits you, it hits you. So there's so many to name, you know, but all of them. Of course, Sam Cooke, you know, I was a kid. You know, I probably wasn't born, you know, but those voices get me in the lyrics. Right now I like, I like a lot of the female singers. The lady, what's her name? Mm-hmm. Ba-dup, boot-up, you know, that kind of stuff. Ba-dup, boot-up, mm-hmm. What's her name? The sister from the Kenny Ladder.
Do some statting and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I like Maxwell, Kenny Lattimore, Joe, you know, cats like that these days that really do it for me. But as a songwriter, I'm not necessarily getting my, you know, just like a jazz musician, you're not necessarily getting your inspiration from the current people. You're really getting your inspiration from the past people.
That's
so,
right, exactly.
Like
I got some people who have some questions for you. And some comments. I'm sorry to interrupt you because I got some folks that are sending me texts, but I'd rather them hear their voices and they share. Dr. Smith, you had a comment that you wanted to give to Ishmael. You want to go ahead and give your comment?
Yeah, I'd like to. Well, first, I wanted to say when the phone came on, I thought it was an oldie but goodie song. Because of the way that it sounded, it was like, how did I miss this one? You know, as a kid, you know, or as, you know, coming of age. And because I was born in 1953, but my coming of age was like basically late 60s, 70s, you know, late 70s, that type of thing. And then as you began to speak, I thought, no wonder, you know, when you were talking about your muses and how you the cadence and things like that, you know, because I thought it was an older song, and so I think that you captured that space in that time and brought it over here in this time expertly, superbly. I have to say that, but I need to know how you spell your name because I'm looking for it. And I can't find it. How do you spell your name?
It's Ishmael Sings. Ishmael Sings. Like Ishmael Sings, like a male and female. So Ishmael Sings. And thank you. Thank you. And when you said that, it gave me...
Spell the last name again. I'm sorry.
Sings. Sings, plural. Sings, S-I-N-G-S. It's on Facebook. It's like one word, Ishmael Sings.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
I have
media.
It.
Thank you.
I have
and,
it now.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for that comment because you gave me chills when you said it because me, you know, being the vessel through it, you know, I'm not really thinking about it, but what you said is, you know, just, you know, I can almost shed a tear because that's exactly what it is.
What you were trying to
interpret. It wasn't for me to interpret.
That's excellent. I thought, well, where did Michael pull this out of? I was going to ask him. Where'd you get that song?
It was great. To answer your question, what's your name again?
Hi, my name is Cynthia.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So, thanks to a friend of mine who brought him to our attention. I want to open up the mic to another co-host. She is the host also here on PMGN of Let's Talk About It, Cotton Campbell in the house. Hello, Cotton. How you doing? Cotton, you there? Okay, I think Cotton might have herself on mute. All right. Let's see. And here comes another co-host, the one and only. This person is in the L.A., Los Angeles, California area. That will be the one and only Mr. Turning Shoe.
How are are you, Mike? What's going on, man? I've been ripping and running. I'm glad I could catch on there. I'm out here in this hot sun out here in sunny California. Everybody is just, you know, it's just hot. I found me a spot so I could be able to at least holler in at Ishmael. Ishmael, man.
How you doing, sir?
How you doing? Just keep doing what you're doing, bruh. Keep doing. You're doing amazing. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic. And I remember that there's a book called Ishmael that I was reading. That's a very distinctive name, Ishmael. So,
yes, sir. I heard. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Always. Hey, I want to go around the board and let everybody that's on, all the co-hosts, go ahead and give their comments since they heard the track. And I don't know if Ishmael heard everybody's response, but I want to go real quick to Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, and then definitely want to get back to more music from Ishmael. And I'm hoping that another individual, in fact, the person who brought me to our attention, will chime in shortly.
Right.
Back to Janet Davis.
Yes, sir.
Janet, I don't know if Ishmael got a chance to hear you, but what's your comment on the first track? And I'm sure you've looked him up, and you may have some other questions.
Well, yes. I said earlier that I really enjoyed, I loved the track that Mike played. And I, too, agree as far as your choice with Marvin Gaye, because I can listen to him all day long. So you got a smooth voice like him. I just wanted to, can you let us know where we can find the different places we can get, you know, get your music?
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Being on this show, you know, Michael is catching me at the beginning of the release of my new album. So I just finished my album like last week, and there's 13 tracks on it. I haven't released it yet because I'm an independent artist. You know how that goes. It's hard to be a soul singer and to do soul music, you know, these days because not too many people have time for it. Everything's in a rush. You know, no one has time. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out, do I put it out independently? So what I decided to do is I'm going to give it about, you know, that's why I'm glad that, you know, Michael has me on the show. You know, we're going to see about, you know, finding some distribution and some serious management before I put it out. I'd rather put it out in a big way so that it'll go out into the whole world rather than me just, you know, just winging it and just putting it on there myself, because as you stated and Cynthia stated, you know, by the grace of God, you know, the songs that came for me, you know, they you know, they came to me in a way that I wanted to put them out. I was like, these are it. These are the subjects. These are, so it's really some good stuff. So I'm going to wait, but I am on, I do have a website, but again, I haven't released these songs yet. You guys are just having the privilege of hearing them. Mike has them all, but I haven't released them. Everything is ready to be released, but I'm going to give it about 30 days and see if I can't get serious distribution to release it, you know, professionally as a team rather than me just releasing it and just a few of us hearing it.
Wow.
I want it to be released in a big way, you know.
Well, you know what? Well, here's the thing. If you don't mind, there's a couple of people I'd like to hear your songs. One of them was a guest a couple of weeks ago, and they have a label. So if you don't mind, I'll share that with them. And then another individual, trust me, you'll be in good hands. But we'll talk about that off air, and hopefully I can introduce you to them and see if we can make that connection. Let me see.
But for Janet, though, yes, I'm on social media as everyone else. Ishmael Sings, ISHMALESINGS. And I'll keep everything going there. But, I haven't released yet. And, of course, website, IshmaelSings.com. Everything is Ishmael Sings. ISHMALESINGS, and Thanks, Michael. And we'll be in touch with Michael, and we'll see that if we can get it released in a big way rather than me just mm-hmm. releasing it just for so we'll right. try to figure out. So thanks you guys for saying that I've captured that spirit, because that's my job and that's what I'm supposed to do as a so-called R&B soul singer.
Amen.
Well, let's keep it moving, because I definitely want to get more music going. In fact, I think Officer Crenshaw, I want you to give a response, and then we're going to get back to the music. And when we get back to it, I'm going to say the title, and Ishmael, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to give us a little story about the song before we hear it. Okay, so Officer Crenshaw, did you have a comment or a question before we get back to the music?
Well, just like I said earlier, when I saw his video, he is mm-hmm. the splitting image of a dear friend of mine who passed away named Levi.
Right, okay. Right,
and,
you did say that. I'm sorry.
I mean,
yeah, I don't think he heard that, because I believe he was on mute.
I hear it now. I definitely want to see his image. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All the way down there in the video, the clothes he was wearing, the motion, the movement, the voice, because I don't hang out, but one of my neighbors had an 80th birthday, and they made me come down there, and, of course, we had some drinks. Well, Levi, being a deacon and being the type of person he was, he started singing, and when I heard him sing, it brought joy to me, because I've never heard him sing like that before. He was just being silly, but, hell, he sounded good. And then when I heard your songs, I started crying, because it made me think of Levi, because you could be twin brothers. Voice,
my man.
Look, dress, everything. Everything.
Wow.
I'm out to know more.
I listened to your music, man, and you said it's going to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, it wouldn't be appreciated.
Yeah. Right.
It's supposed to be hard, so it will be appreciated. And believe me,
yes, sir.
What I hear and what I see, hold on to those wings of that plane, brother, because you're fixing to fly.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw. Thank you. Thank you.
Man.
So let me ask
and
you
I
this
definitely
before
wanna,
I play this song. No, go ahead.
I definitely want to. One day, Mike, I'm going to have to talk with Mr. Crenshaw and see about Levi, my twin.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'll
fantastic.
Say, yeah, we'll connect, because we know the same
right.
person too. But we'll connect.
Okay. So let me go ahead and ask you this, because we're getting ready to hear some more songs here, and this one here, we have like three songs, you guys. So we're going to go, you know, back to back here. But I want to get Ishmael to give us a little background on this. What I want to play next is What Can We Do? How did this song come about? And we'll listen to the lyrics, but give us a story or what the actual story about the song about. What is the heart of it?
Okay. What Can We Do is complicated, because I always wanted a song. You know, the rappers are doing their thing. Me as a vocalist, I always wanted a song, and I cover the What's Going On. What's going on? You know, Marvin Gaye Live with the band, you know,
mm-hmm.
What's Going On, Mercy, Mercy
mm-hmm.
Me, you know, those hits. You know, so as a singer, I would do those hits, those jazz hits when I'm opening up live with the band. And I always wanted one like that, you know, of What's Going On. What's a modern What's Going On? So I couldn't come up with it, probably for years. I'm thinking about it. Everybody else is probably thinking about it too. I want to What's Going On. But, you know, by the grace of God, What Can We Do came to me probably about 4 months ago. And, you know, I woke up with it, with the hook and the rhythm, and I put it on the phone, on the voicemail. And you know, my wife, you know, bless her heart, as the old school brothers would say, because she got to be there when I'm waking up, you know, singing stuff in the phone or whatever. working on an album. So, but that one came, and yeah, she kind of liked that one. She kind of felt that one, and I wrote the hook, put it down next morning, called my guy that produced. I had to do it. By the grace of God, I had something close to these times that could make you think, almost like a what's going on. So what can we do?
Amen. All right, here we go, you guys. Here's Ishmael Singh with What Can We Do.
What can we do?
TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the TMGS, which you're listening to now, and also the home of Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell. That was Ishmael Sings with What Can We Do?
Yes,
man,
sir.
That is definitely that Marvin, that is that Marvin feel, not only in the music, but just in the message also.
Yeah.
Very, very moving track, because you know, when you think about it, what's going on is over what 50 years old, like 50 years
yeah.
old, I think.
And it's still the record
you
holder.
Know, and
can't touch it.
And it's still right, the record holder, and it's still relevant to the world today, 50 years later. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that. I really like that.
Thank you.
I don't know if anybody has any responses or anything, but I'm looking for someone to pop up on the board, and they said that they were going to call in, so I'm going to hold them to their word. I'll see if they pop up. I'm going to wait and see. We'll wait and see. Man, that's deep. Let's go ahead and go
hey,
to
can
the
I
next
get...
track, though. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, before you get that, I was going to go back to something Cynthia was saying quickly when she was said about trying to capture how she figured that it was classic, how she missed it. She didn't really miss it. We really didn't put it out in a big way. But yet, yes, I do want that formula to produce that timely music, but yet being classic. So I'm glad, you know, I'm glad she picked up on it. Glad we were able to capture it, because it's not me by myself. I have musicians that I'm dealing with, and to capture that feel,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really takes some organization and some magic, because, you know, soul mm-hmm. music is magic. That's why they call it soul music,
mm-hmm.
because it takes so many ingredients, like gumbo or something, you know. The magic has
to
happen.
I'd like to say one other thing. This song that you just that just played is also on that same vein, and I thought to myself, the only other person who I believe was able to pull this off was Raphael Sadiq.
Oh yeah,
one of his albums,
I mean,
where he went back and pulled out some that older sound I call it, when music was music and when lyrics
yeah.
were lyrics and you could understand it and it
yeah.
made sense.
And
yeah.
Tony, I'm inspired by them. I covered their stuff
yeah.
too. Anniversary. It's our anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those my
well,
guys.
You guys. Well, mm-hmm. I think many of the co-hosts here know that we've had some original members, okay, of Tony on the show before. Amar Khalil.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah E.B. Baker, the original, which are now known as 3POB, and just recently, in fact, we just had Amar on the show. But yeah, you know, that style,
yeah.
that sound. But here's the thing I want to also, since you mentioned that, or better yet, since Dr. Smith had brought that up, as far as the sound and everything, but the storytelling. Today's music, the stories are now about, you know, getting high, having sex, take care
right.
of your girl, got your girl, got the man, got money, I got the car, I got the jewelry, you ain't shit unless you
right.
got this, you know, excuse me, let me see y'all, you know, I don't normally cuss on the show, but that's
yeah.
the lyrics that they use, and even worse, but, you know, and sing about WAP, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
know, it's... You know, that's the norm now.
Right.
But back in the day, there was stories. And when we do our tribute later on the show to Michael Henderson, you hear these songs where there were stories, there was a hook, there was something to it other than,
right,
you know, what we hear now. What are your thoughts on songs of today and the storytelling of the past and your whole journey,
okay,
when you record as far as telling stories?
Okay, thank you, Michael. You know, that's a loaded question, and as you guys
know,
I'm going to answer it accurately but carefully. But rest
right
in peace, Brother Michael. You know, I picked up from him too, as a musician, as a singer. The music today, I would say that I'm inspired by it. You know, when I want to get turned up, you know, there are certain
mm-hmm
music that I'm going to listen to. If I'm driving, if you know, like when we're driving, you're traveling. You wake up in the morning, you may not want to go to, you may not play Anita Baker, Sweet Love, when you first hit the road. You probably,
correct,
some Public Enemy, some rap, or, you know. So
mm-hmm
I like you guys, I like all the different styles of music. And it's just like a meal or a gumbo. There are certain times of the day to prescribe them or to play them. So I like it all, but,
mm-hmm,
you know, all of the hardcore stuff, it's like, it's almost like being an athlete never getting a massage. You know, it's like, you know, you have to relax sometimes. You know, you have to,
mm-hmm,
you know, turn it off and dial down. You just can't stay turned up all the time. I think they're just trying to have us, you know, the industry is trying to have us on 10 all the time, and some people don't know how to dial it down and come back to 2. You know, like jazz music. You wanna talk to your woman, whisper in her ear. You may not play Fight the Power, you know. But when you want to get turned up to go and do something, handle some business, you play Fight the Power. So I want,
right,
to, I feel that, of course, you know, as my friends would tell me, you know, everybody wants to hear some good classic music, and that's what I do, but it's hard. As Brother Crenshaw said, it's kind of hard to do because, you know, everybody's not necessarily checking for it because, you know, a black man singing, you know, they're going to try to act like that's square. But we do sing. We do play violin. We don't just do that wop, as Brother Michael just said. Laugh,
right,
y'all.
Yeah.
That's right. All the time.
That's very true.
You know.
And it's funny that you say that we do sing, we do play the violin. And fortunately, we have been blessed to have thing that you just mentioned, or every type of person that you just mentioned here on the show. Janet, you remember where we had an awesome violinist here on the show who actually toured with Lady Gaga and performed with her and Tony Bennett in Vegas, okay? So
right,
he's a young man, you know, and he's the son of a friend of mine that used to work with me and still great friends and everything. And I'm hoping to get him back. In fact, he's overseas. He's teaching kids overseas how to play violin. And when he comes back here, guess what? Lady Gaga hires him as soon as he comes to town.
Wow.
So, you know, so those are the things that people are not aware of that. Granted, there are a lot of very gifted and talented young individuals who don't follow the rap or the, you know, the, and I'm not downing rap, okay? Don't get me wrong.
Right.
A lot of folks, oh, you just hate rap. Look, I'm 60 years old. You know, I know more about rap than most of the young kids.
Right.
At least the
from the beginning.
You know, where. From the beginning, okay? So, you know, don't say I don't like it, you know. I appreciate it. But as you just said, and you said it in a great way of where there's a time to tone down. You can't be wound up on a certain message all the time. There's a time for everything.
Thank you.
Right. And I think that's what you're saying.
Thank you.
There's a time for, if you go into a party, okay, there's songs that are going to be played for partying. But you don't listen to party songs all day, every day. Or a certain type of messages all day, every day, if that makes any sense. Go ahead, sir.
I had another one for you guys. I hope maybe y'all laugh, but I was going to say, you know, the slogan is
already
grown and sexy, not just grown and nasty.
Exactly.
Hello? So, yeah, so, yeah, exactly. I want to be grown
right.
and sexy, you know, but I don't want to be grown and nasty. What kind of, what, how
right.
am I going to perform in front of men with their women in a booth and I'm being nasty? That's inappropriate.
Right.
That's just not, that's killing mm-hmm. the whole, that's killing the whole grown and sexy vibe. So it's like,
right.
you know, we have to be true to, you know, what we're saying. If you're going to be grown and sexy, you have to be grown and sexy and professional about it like they used to be. You know, you can bring your lady out or bring your friends out to a show or to a Michael's show, and you don't have to worry about, you know, you feel safe, you know.
Well, you know what I want to say quickly before we get to the next song is that here's something that, well, back when I was younger, in my 20s and 30s, a friend of mine used to joke at me. He says, "Man, you got the smoothest pickup line." I said, "I don't use no line." He says, "Exactly." He said, "You just use gestures." I said, "What you talking about?" I said, "I see you." I said, "Well," he said, you'll fix your eyes on a woman you want to talk to, and she'll look at you, and
right.
you just nod your head like yes. And next thing
yes.
I know, you're talking to her. I'm like, exactly. There's a way of doing things. And I've always been the type of guy where the woman that had on the long dress, that's the one who will catch my attention. Because, see, when you cover
right.
it, that brings attention of what's underneath that dress. See, if you expose
exactly.
everything, I already see it. You know what I'm saying? But if you got
yep.
a long dress on, I'm like, there's got to be something underneath because I see it moving. I just want to, you know. Ladies, I'm not being rude. I'm sorry, but you understand what I'm
You're
saying.
You're just going to look a little deeper.
You'll
look a little deeper.
You got to leave something to, well, you got to leave something to the imagination, okay? And that's
right.
how I always go. So let's move on to the music. Let's move
I agree.
On to the music. Next up, I really want to play.
We see who the spoon Casanova is.
Cool Casanova. Hey, man, that's just me. I learned that. You know what? I learned that from the old heads, though. See, I learned that from older
right.
men when I was growing up. Is that you're, you know,
yeah.
it's like that old story where the two bulls or the bull and the sun bull are up on the hill, and the youngest bull says, "Hey, Dad, let's go down the hill and screw all those cows." He says, "No. No, screw one of those cows." He says, "Dad, let's run down the hill and screw one of those cows." And the dad says, "No, son, let's walk down the hill and screw them all." See? Anyway.
right.
I didn't really mean to tell that joke, but
quit
that
while
makes
you're
sense.
Ahead.
yes. But you know it's true. Anyway, let me go ahead and let's get to the music, you guys. All right, put on the brakes. All right, so next cut we're going to listen to is Excuse Me, DJ. Give us a little background on this.
Okay, well, you know, trying to break into the music industry, you know, I'm trying to be clever about this. And so, you know, one of the best ways is in – and we all know about the DJ. We always want a DJ to play what we want them to play. So I had to have some type of song on this album for the DJs. And so this is Excuse Me, DJ. You know, Brothers at the Club wants the DJ to play his favorite song so he can, you know, talk to the shorty that he has his eye on.
All right. Here we go. Here's Ishmael Singh with Excuse Me, DJ.
DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Why you standing here alone, looking so fly? Got me wondering who you came with.
Came with.
Maybe we can be friends, or we can have a fling, or you can be my main chick.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up, wait a minute, let me slow down. Girl, you just got my mind blown. I like, told you, I'm just trying to get the jump on you, so maybe we can be alone.
Oh, yeah.
Mind fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you. Cause right now you got all eyes on me. Yeah. So do you mind if I take you on the floor so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, girl? Yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. DJ, excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Girl, we ain't gotta talk, we ain't gotta drink, all you gotta do is move that body. We gon' tear the floor up and get the club lit like it's a private party. It's unbelievable the way your body is calling for me, yeah. Not a fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you. Cause right now you got all eyes on me. So do you mind if I take you on the floor so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, baby, yeah? Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, just to get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, make it do what it do, while I put you in the mood, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, tryna get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, put my needle in the groove, baby. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Mr. DJ, excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Welcome back to the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. It's the TMGN, the Michael Gay Show, with our guest, Ishmael Sings. That was, excuse me, DJ, get my shorty on the dance floor. All right. Hey, I got to get some responses on this one. Let me go to Janet, the lady of the house. What do you think about that one, Janet? Take yourself off mute. I think Janet's there. Yes, he's still here. Okay,
here.
I think Janet might. Oh, okay. What did you think about that there?
What, the show? I mean, the song, I loved it. I loved it, you know. I'm looking forward to hearing that, purchasing your album when it comes out, because if it's any indication from the two songs that we've heard so far, it's going to be it's a hit, just like Officer Crenshaw said, you know, especially speaking to our generation. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, the three songs, yeah, mm-hmm. that we've heard. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I like the way it has that nice bounce to it. You know, to be honest, when I first, and I'm just going to be honest, when I first heard it, your songs, at first I was like, okay, and I was being kind of critical in a sense. I shared it with them. And then I had to listen again and again. You know, sometimes you have to listen to stuff a little more, and you have to kind of like pay attention to, for me, it's the music first, then I listen to the lyrics.
Right.
Maybe opposite for some folks, but I listen to the music first, then I listen to the lyrics. I try to listen to them both at the same time, but really for me, that's the way it works. I listen to, does that get me to dance? Does the music make me feel a certain way? That's what gets me first, you know, is the music.
Right.
So, but that has that nice bounce to it. And me being a former DJ, because, yes, I used to be a disc jockey, many of you guys already know, when I lived on the West Coast, did a little bit here in Georgia and everything. And the main thing for me to keep the people on the dance floor, something like that, you got something mixing, let's say a hit record, and you slide a new song in, which I used to do. I would slide in the new songs in the middle of the already established songs. And if the people are on the floor, you knew this song was going to be a hit. You follow me?
Okay. Wow.
You understand my point? You know, it's just a way of where if you got that right song ahead of it and you pulled this song in that's new they haven't heard and you still got them dancing to it and they never heard it before, that song is going to be a hit.
Okay. Well, yeah, you definitely have a radio voice. I was telling my wife, I said, it's like I'm talking to Donnie Simpson on the phone.
Well, yeah, no, I wish I had Donnie's money.
Radio voice. I know, right?
I appreciate that. And now that you mentioned your wife, she does assist you. You had told me before. She does assist you on the decisions of the songs and everything, correct?
Yes, I would say yes, because she's usually the first person on most of the songs that I come up with. I'll run them by her first because she'll be somewhere in the room when it comes to me. And when it comes, like if a song comes to you, if I'm trying to be a real soul singer, so, you know, the way that I was taught, you know, you would kind of like get into the zone and, you know, let a song grow on you, like making art or creating something, you would let it, you know, come rather than just, like you said, just doing anything, talking about that wop. That's easy. But for the ones to come, the ones to come on the wind and to come from the universe and to come to you, yeah, those come. And when those come to me, I have to grab them. I have to put them down or put the lyric down or put the rhythm down. If not, it'll probably go somewhere else and I'll forget whatever it was. But, yeah, she's the first person who usually would hear it. And as a female, you know, it's best to run it by a female first, too, because, you know, most of the times when it comes to music, soul music, you know, the sisters are on point with that, because if they can feel it, then if they can't feel it, you know, you already know.
Exactly, especially if you're telling the story, you know. And if they can't buy your story, no one else will. And, you know, and
you're
I
done.
Like the fact that because, you know, the first time that you and I spoke, when you told me that, I really like that because I've never heard anyone say that their spouse had any input into their creativity. You know what I mean? Well, I won't say no one, but very few give credit to their spouse for their creativity and what they do. So, much love and blessings to the missus for her input.
Thank you.
On the music.
And I'll tell her.
Please do. I think that Dr. Smith's call had dropped, but I think she's back. Are you back, Dr. Smith?
Yeah. It didn't drop.
Okay.
What I did was I went to Ishmael's YouTube channel. I texted you and I said I found his YouTube channel. Make sure that he tells people that he has a YouTube presence because his music is on there. And I had an opportunity to listen to Give Me Some R&B with my speakers on, and I have to, this is a good one.
Right.
All right?
So
you get a chance to really feel the music.
Right.
I understand what Officer Crenshaw was saying when he said that he cried a little bit, because the way that that it's made is so real. It's not phony. It's not contrived. The video itself is using real people. And you just feel like, just like getting a kid out. I used to wake my kids up every Saturday morning, time to clean up.
Right.
You know, the memories that just flooded through. It's like if this was back in the old days, I'd be ready to go somewhere and slow drag to it. You see what I'm saying?
I know.
Like this is one of them slow drag records with the red light.
And then you know what? But here's the thing I want to say. Of course, I mean, I always ask my guests to share, you know, and always make sure that the listeners know how to listen to it, because here on Blog Talk Radio, you do not get the quality sound. And so I always tell everyone, make sure that when you get this information, if you don't have, if you can't type fast enough, have a pen and pencil, because I will ask Ishmael to go ahead and share how you can listen and see the video on on all the platforms or on everything. So he's definitely going to do that more than once before we leave the show, because you will hear the quality of it. Put on your earbuds, put on your whatever, and listen to the music.
Yes, indeed.
Because the next song I want to play, and the thing is that this is the one that, true enough, I enjoy the songs, but this one here really caught me. All of Me, man.
Oh,
I love
man.
That keyboard line. It's almost haunting, but not in a bad way, if you understand what I'm saying. You're a musician, you know what I mean.
Right.
But
right.
That line in this song and everything, I was like, whoa, this is deep. Tell us a little bit about that. Let me play it afterwards. But, man, I love this track.
Well, I'm going to say All of Me is very interesting, because All of Me is one of the last songs that I've done for this album. There's 13 tracks, and I came to Atlanta to do All of Me, which is where you guys are at, Michael. And Shauna lives. So it's like I wasn't expecting it, but one of my Atlanta producers, you know, had a track. I had an idea for the song, and and his uncle, Billy Owsley, he came up with a couple of tracks for me for the lyrics that I had, two songs. So I actually recorded All of Me in Atlanta back this past May, and it was glad to be there, but I just came to, you know, just do the track. I didn't really get to kick it or to go to Old Lady Gang or nothing like that. I just came in, you know, to do the track and left. I wanted to do something about, you know, showing some black love. So All of Me is like a love song. Everybody's talking about black love. So All of Me is my black love song.
All right.
And
it came
to me. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Here's Ishmael Sings with All of Me.
It's my wedding song.
MX.
Every time I look at you, the butterflies are still anew. The love that I found is next to me, next to me. Your kisses take me to the shore, till you pull me to the ocean floor. Ooh, I nearly drown in your ecstasy, ecstasy. Time we walk the street, people always look at you, then they look at me. The whole world smiles when they see your black love. Softly, girl, I always reminisce. Can't you see?
to go to work. You say be careful, baby, don't get hurt. You show me love when you show concern. I call you on my break time just to flirt. And you never turn your back on me, even when I know we disagree. But as long as we keep God first, it's me and you against the universe.
Let me say this. Welcome back to the show. Some people asked me what order was I going to play the songs, and I was like, okay, this is the order. But remember there was a time when you would play a record because the record would tell your story for you. You know what I'm saying? You would play that classic slow song. You didn't have the words for it, but the song did. And you couldn't sing.
Right.
So you let so-and-so sing. You let Teddy Pendergrass sing. You let Luther sing. You let a bunch of folks sing. Right. And you play that song for your lady. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. At least the ones in my age category. Mm-hmm. This is one of those songs. And that's what we need to get back to. Let the song do the talking. Man, that's awesome. I really like that song. And again, you guys got to listen to it in a better quality of sound. And with that being said, Ishmael, please share how everybody can find your music right now.
Yes, sir.
When they get off this show.
Okay. As Dr. Smith said, I have about 5 music videos for some singles on YouTube. So that's Ishmael Sings on all platforms. Ishmael Sings. Sings. Put it in as one word, Ishmael Things, not Ishmael, I-S-H-M-A-E-L, I-S-H-M-A-L-E, like a male and female, Ishmael Things for the logo. So Facebook, YouTube, there's the videos, the new album, God willing, we'll have it released on whoever's going to help us to get it released. It's ready, so we'll figure it out. But in the meantime, everything is there. As Dr. Smith said, there's about 5 hot jams that you guys haven't heard, including Give Me Some R&B is on there. Give Me Some R&B, I released it last year. It charted in the UK, but it was during COVID. But the United Kingdom DJs got a hold of it, and it was a smash over there. It charted on the R&B soul chart. I was up there with Tony Braxton on the charts, but I couldn't go and travel anywhere because it was during the quarantine. So it just charted and it did its thing, and there you go. But now that things are over, we'll release it here, release it over there again. I get a chance to go, and we'll do what we have to do. But we're just getting back after COVID to doing things, live music and everything. Of course, the established artists that I hear on here, they're doing their thing. But me as an up-and-coming, we're trying to do our thing as well, and trying to get back out there and make ourselves known.
Okay. I'm getting a text. text this person back, because I'm about to open up their mic, and you know who this person is, and so I'm going to open up their mic and say hello to them, and see, their mic is opening. Hello, caller.
here in the ATL. I think you know our guest. Who are we talking
Bonjour,
to?
Bonjour, comment allez-vous? Bonjour, comment allez-vous? Je m'appelle Michelle.
I know. Bonjour.
Near like a gumbo. Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hey, fam. Hey, Sean.
You know who that is?
Yes, that's Shauna, my good friend, college. She graduated about a year from my college friend and pal and buddy and everything. And she's my home girl from Shreveport, Louisiana. She lives in ATL with you, Michael. And, yeah, she introduced us. She helped me a lot, you know, try to make sure that a brother gets heard. She thinks that I'm very good at what I do. So,
well, you are. I thank her for bringing you to our attention.
She's not not alone.
Oh, she's not alone. Oh, that's mom. Hey, mom. thank you.
Hey, mom.
For bringing Ishmael to our attention, I truly appreciate it. And wow, interesting, very interesting. Well, I don't want to hold you up all night long. I definitely want to get to this tribute to the late, great Michael Henderson. But before we let you go, I just want to go around the board and let every one of my co-hosts and callers have their final thoughts and share their final comments with you. And, of course, the lady of the house, Janet Polly Hawkins Davis. You know, I like saying that. Janet, are you there? You might be on mute. Okay. So, watch her pop up in a minute. Officer Crenshaw, your final words.
Thank you for doing what you do. Keep doing it. It has really lifted me up in a way that is unmentionable. And like Dr. Smith said, you know, it that last song, the wedding song, took you back to where you were slow dancing and kind of did that little dip and that drop and swirl and kind of, you know, kind of rubbed on the clothes a little bit.
Okay.
I know, right?
It's real. But also, you know, Mike made a good point. You know, you start to hear it on the inside. God wants us to use all our senses, as one. So not only when we hear it, we're listening to it, but when we see it, we also hear it as well. So do some more video. Do some more video.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me go to, let's see, I think Timon Schiff is still here. Timon in California. What's up, brother? You got a final comment?
I have a final comment. Ishmael, like I said, man, it's been great listening to your music, everything. As a fellow artist, I come to you in total support, you know, and that's, you know, stay creative, stay prayed up, and stay focused, man, because it's definitely the big thing waiting for you. So just stay on your game.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I will.
And you know what I find amazing? That normally Timon only spends an hour with us because he's so busy. He's here 2 hours into the show. And that hasn't happened in how long? But anyway, that's another story. Thank you, Timon.
Yeah, and I'm at a barbecue.
So you had a barbecue. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Definitely, I have
and
to
I'm
say,
babysitting.
A former co-host
babysitting.
Of the team. Oh, you're doing both. Okay. So you're grilling and dealing with the teething at the same time. Well, maybe not that small of a baby, but all right, man. Gotta hand the mic over to a former co-host here. But you know what? I'm hoping she'll come back here. I know she's doing her thing with her essays and her story and her truth telling. Dr. Cynthia Lee Smith, thank you so much for joining us today. What are your final thoughts and comments?
Well, I want to say The music is wonderful. It's so refreshing. It's like a nice dousing with cold water on a hot day. I've looked up your name on Facebook, and you'll see a request from me.
Okay.
For friendship on there, and I subscribed to your channel because I'm sure there are going to be many, many more wonderful songs, much more wonderful music. I shared something on your page onto my page because I have a number of followers and things, and told them you about to blow up, basically. And okay. I really hope that for you. I hope that you get the recognition that you deserve.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Dr. Smith has, she's got a lot of connections. So, I guess right there you can see that the word is getting out.
Yes, I'm going to friend her. Yeah, I'll friend her now.
What was the singer's name? The one who had that song, "The Word Is Out." Well, okay, that was back in the 80s.
Dwayne.
Anyway.
Whatever his name was, Dwayne, Brian.
Jermaine Stewart. Stewart, yeah.
Jermaine Stewart.
Right, right. The word is out.
He passed.
All right, let me see if
Michael, just one other thing, too, because Officer Crenshaw mentioned something about slow dancing and dipping. Back in my day, we stood on the wall, and there was a dance called the grind. We wasn't slow dancing and dipping. We was up against the
East Coast.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
That's East Coast.
That's what we did here on the East Coast, okay? So
we
had a couple of grinding songs.
They nasty on the East Coast, Michael.
Oh, God, dirty old lady in the house. Okay, that's it. Bye.
I was there. Yeah, I enjoyed the East Coast on account of that.
But, hey, on this show, the truth comes out. Let me see if the lady of the house, Janet Davis, are you there? Okay, I guess Janet. I don't know. She stepped away. All right. Well, hey, you guys. Thank you all, especially all my co-hosts and all the callers. But most importantly, thanks to our guests, our special guest, Ishmael Sings, for joining us.
Thank you.
And sharing the music. And you guys have got an awesome opportunity to help share this brother's music. You are among the very few that have a chance, that have had the chance this evening to hear this brother's talent. And let's follow him, watch him continue his journey, which is most important. And we will always be here to support you, man. And anytime you want to come back on and share with us, just let me know. And we will definitely have you back, okay? We definitely appreciate you.
Okay.
You are awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Well, you guys,
thank you. Thank you very much for having
let's
me.
Give it up. Let's give it up one more time for our special guest, the one and only, and soon to be very well known, Ishmael Sings, for being on the show. Thank you, Ishmael.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you, y'all.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Eddie. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank my mama for having me.
All right. All right. Great show, you guys. Fantastic conversation. And again, thanks to Ishmael. We're not going to get out of here yet because we have one more segment of the show, as I said, that I've made it a point to make sure we have enough time to do what we want to do here. And, fortunately, we have been able to have some awesome guests on this show, as you guys well know, some iconic individuals, in the music industry. We've had politicians, we've had authors and this and the other. But I always like to give respect where respect is due. Some of you probably have heard that the one and only, an awesome musician, songwriter, singer, Mr. Michael Henderson passed just this week. And
you know, when I first got the news, I wasn't in shock. I was in disbelief. I was thinking this got to be a hoax, not Michael Henderson. Because I just saw this brother, you know, a couple of years ago, and here in the Atlanta area and throughout the United States, I'm pretty sure many of you would see where he was performing this place or that place, or he was booked. In fact, just before his passing, there was advertisements of him coming up at venues. And unfortunately, we lost him this week. He was here in Atlanta at Emory Hospital, I believe the information said. And honestly, I shared a tear because when I heard, I came home and I started playing a lot of his music, and I was like, wow. It just hit me. We've lost another icon.
Yes.
Funny enough, well, not funny, I shouldn't say that, but here's something that I want to share with you guys, that where, as you guys know, he sung with some greats. He sung with Roberta Flack. He sung with Phyllis Hyman, also with a woman whose name is Rena Scott, which they made the hit single called Take Me, I'm Yours. Actually, Rena Scott is my son's aunt. Because my son's mother's brother is married to Rena, and they've been married for, 30-plus years, probably more than that, but I know at least 30 years. And I sent out a text to Rena, sharing my condolences. I saw on her social media pages where folks were sending out their condolences and so on. But it hit me of where, wow, this music this cat did. And when you listen to the music, honestly listen to it. Listen to the instrumentation. Listen to all the instruments you don't even hear in songs at all anymore. The organ, the certain saxophones, the string arrangements, the percussions like timbales and everything, and the entire song. This guy just incorporated so much, I mean, and the changes, the bridges and stuff. You don't even hear changes and bridges in songs that much anymore. It's just the same old beat, same old beat. But they had changes and bridges and, you know, and stuff like that. They just created a masterpiece, which will be legendary songs forever. And someone down the road will hear it and sample it and use bits and pieces of it to make a hit of their own. Because that was when music was music. As Dr. Smith said, when music was music, you used real instruments. So tonight in closing, right, what I want to do is pay homage to a gentleman that really, 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 really had a major impact in my life with his music. And his vocal ability, oh, my God, the guy can sing, you know, a soprano and go into a tenor in just one note, in just one run, okay? That's how awesome the late, great Michael Henderson was. Before I start playing the music, I just want to go around the board and see if anyone can tell me what was their favorite song or memory, if you ever saw him in concert, but what was one of your favorite Michael Henderson songs? Our guest is still here, so thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what was one of your favorite Michael Henderson songs?
I like it's Michael Henderson is kind of tricky because, as you stated, you know, he's done his own things, and plus he did songs for others. It's like he's freaking Quincy Jones type, you know, just all kind of music. So it's probably a lot of them that I've forgotten that I'll Google, but I know they're him, they're his. But as you stated, you know, Take Me, I'm Yours for sure. Take me, I'm yours. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my jam right there. That duet. But he has so many. I have to Google him. He has so many of them.
Right. Anybody else have any memory of Michael Henderson songs or want to share any of their favorites?
Well,
Nobody.
Well, Michael, well, you know I'm not for remembering names, but if I hear the song, I can tell you. And his name, I'm like Ishmael. I'm probably going to have to Google it, then hear it, and then I'll be able to tell you because I'm just old. I'm going to chalk it
up
to being old.
I have one. I'm sorry.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I have one. This is Mishana. Be My Girl.
Oh, Be My Girl. Be My Girl.
Be My Girl.
Oh. That one.
Oh, yeah.
I was not in love today. See?
Right.
I forgot that was him.
Yep.
Yeah,
that brown eyes converted me. It's
now,
not even about the.
Now, after I said all that, I hope Blog Talk is not messing with me. But let me just make sure. But I will be playing the songs. Hold on a minute here. Be My Girl was another classic, and one of my favorites was At the Concert. That he did with Roberta Flack. Y'all remember that one?
How did it go, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm having a little issue here with Blog Talk, and I don't know why. Because all the songs are here. Hold on just a second. Let me see what happened. Okay, I see what happened. Michael Music. Okay. I apologize. There's a little issue here. Hold on a minute. Let me see what happened. I could have sworn I... One moment. Okay. I had to update the show there. Oh, you don't remember it started off of with like a horn line, and then it had this this like saxophone solo ahead of time. I apologize, you guys. I'm trying to make a change here, and it's not letting. Okay, there it goes. Save. Okay, so we're good here. All right, but it had like this orchestra type background to it, a great horn line, and the verse was I love to love to at, no it went at the concert. You don't remember that? No. Okay.
Well,
bear with me because I'm having some kind of issue here, and I'm really pissed off with Blog Talk. Because this should have been on the board. Okay, so I'm trying to really get them up and running. So bear with me.
I have one.
Real quick.
I have one that my father loved, actually. It's called Treat Me Like a Man. Can you just think back on
that
those
was,
times?
The Dramatics. Right. That
no.
was the... Treat Me Like a Man. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of that one. But, okay, there was one by Michael Henderson. I didn't know that there was.
Yes, Treat Me Like a Man. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember my father telling my mom to go by Dillard's and pick him up a pinstripe suit because he's wearing it on the album cover. I'm like, wow.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay. And he probably did that version. You know, you're right. He probably did that version. All right, so you guys bear with me because now I think I'm able to fix the issue because I will play these songs before we get out of here. I promise you because I'm not going to go out like that. Let me see. Let me get to this other screen here. My favorite one, which a lot of them are my favorite but the title album was called In the Nighttime, and the title track In the Nighttime was one of my favorites. I mean, the storyline is just so great that I'm like, okay, Michael, you know, he slammed up this one, you know. Let Me Love You is another one. Just so many that he did. So let me see if I can get these here.
I'm going to play some of his stuff when we finish, too, and go back and reminisce.
Okay. So I have some of them that, and again, I do apologize for the delay. Okay. I think I have many of them now, so give me just a second. But I definitely have two of them up. This should have transferred, though, and I don't know why Blog Talk didn't do this. Okay, so let's go ahead and listen to some of the great music by Michael Henderson. Here's a classic, which was actually made again by the Dramatics.
Broke my spirit. got me dreaming. I can't die without you being there. Stop this mistreating me. I wanna stay.
You remember all those hits?
I remember those hits, man. Those, man.
Right, right. Hey, look, I don't want to stop, but because I have a few more because we have about 15 minutes left. But this is a tribute to the great Michael Henderson. But this one here, I want to play. This is one he did with Roberta Flack. And as I said, the quality on Blog Talk, unfortunately, is not in stereo. But if you remember this song, I invite you to go and look it up if you don't already own it. Put on your headphones, your iPods or whatever, your earbuds, and listen to the instrumentation, all the instruments that are in this song, the arrangement of it. This is truly a classic. Here's Michael Henderson with At the Concert.
Just you and me. sometimes brings you all the way down.
Michael Gay's show, and we're in overtime because we had to do this tribute to the iconic musician, vocalist, Mr. Michael Henderson. Now, again, I'll say, you can't hear the quality on here, but look up these songs, look up everything, and listen to them in your own stereo system, on your own stereo system, or through your ear, and you will hear the instrumentation. Did you not hear the flutes? Did you not hear the horns? Did you not hear the strings, the percussion? I mean, everything was put into this song. And that's what we're missing, at least in my opinion. You know, you look at where schools are not programming the arts as much or not supporting the arts as much as they used to and should. But this is what's getting taken away from our youth is the ability to be a musician, not a programmer, but a musician. Don't you agree with me?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's some great music there, and that's one of my favorite songs. Go ahead.
We're doing our part here, and again, thanks for having me on your show, and you're doing your part.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
I'm going to do my part, and so that we can.
Oh no,
try
but you
to
are. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you are doing your part, because based on all my co-hosts and all the callers, they love what you're doing. You are bringing back because it never went away, but you're making that sound and the quality of music survive. Of this good story.
Yeah, we're still
good
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're still here. The proteges of these people like Michael Henderson and the others who we can't even name, they still have their spirit still lives through us, just like in other arts and other things of entertainment and athletics. The new Michael Jordan.
Legacy,
there are legacies out here, but it's just it's underground because for some reason they don't want us to be here anymore. It's competition. And
the thing is that it's not a thing of competition. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to say this because in this segment I have to look at it where, in my opinion, because at 60 years old, I remember, I didn't just listen to R&B. I listened to rock and roll. I listened to classical. I played in orchestra. I'm a drummer, okay? I played drums ever since I was a kid and everything. I've been a DJ and everything. I've gone through all those things, and I've worked with recording artists and stuff like that, and I've seen how, unfortunately, and that's a whole different show, but unfortunately, some people want the negative out there than the positive. You, my brother,
right,
are bringing attention to the positive and trying not to share the negatives. And the thing is that when you mentioned like NWA, I think
Public
you mentioned
Public
Enemy. That's consciousness of what's going on. You know what I mean? Of what's going on in your community, what's going on with folks. But the stuff which we already talked about that is being promoted, and that certain individuals or certain groups want us to be stuck in just that one concept is where they want us to be and stay, which is destructive, as you say. When you listen to certain things too long or too much, it's time to kind of, dial back, and that's what I think that's what this type of music does, is it makes you dial back. That was your work. So I only have 5 minutes left, and I definitely have to play this song. But if I could, excuse me, and we just did close to 3 hours or 5 minutes away from 3 hours of broadcasting, which is something new for the TMGS. We normally do too, but I wanted to do this tribute to Michael Henderson on this Saturday. If I could, I would do a whole hour just playing all his music. And I may do that this coming Tuesday. I'll keep you guys posted. Make sure that you always check out all of our rebroadcasts are available on Blog Talk Radio. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMDGS. Or you can find the Michael Gay Network on Spotify, iHeart, and many of your other favorite social media outlets. All of our shows, most of our shows, if not all, are rebroadcast on there. But since I only have 4 minutes left, let me go ahead. Let me. That doesn't sound right. But let me go ahead and play this last track. Here's Michael Henderson with "Take Me, I'm Yours" with the one and only Miss Rena Scott. Hey, you guys, have a blessed remainder of your weekend, and we'll see you next Saturday. On the 13th of next month, we will be doing a rebroadcast because we're going to join our friend Karen White and Mr. Carl Thomas at an event here in the ATL. If you live here in Atlanta, look it up. It's going to be the bomb. The TMGS crew will be there. All right, so we'll see you then. God bless. Have a great day. God bless.